Translation. Please therefore describe the Almighty Lord's activities, which you have learned by your vast knowledge of the Vedas, for that will satisfy the hankerings of great learned men, and at the same time mitigate the miseries of the masses of common people who are always suffering from material pangs. Indeed, there is no other way to get out of such miseries. So, let's have a look at the purport. If you want to join me in reading this, please do, because it's right there on the board. Shri Narad Muni, from practical experience, definitely asserts that the prime solution of all problems of material work is to broadcast very widely the transcendental glories of the Supreme Lord. There are four classes of good men, and there are four classes of bad men also. The four classes of good men acknowledge the authority of the Almighty God, and therefore such good men, 1. When they are in difficulty, 2. When they are in need of money, 3. When they are advanced in knowledge, and 4. When they are inquisitive to know more and more about God, intuitively take shelter of the Lord. As such, Naradaji advises Vyasadeva to broadcast the transcendental knowledge of God in terms of the vast Vedic knowledge which he had already attained. As far as the bad men are concerned, they are also 4 in number. Is it possible to raise this? Yeah, cool. I have to sit up straight now. 1. Those who are simply addicted to the mode of progressive fruitive work and thus are subjected to the accompanying miseries. 2. Those who are simply addicted to vicious work for the sense satisfaction and so suffer the consequence. 3. Those who are materially very much advanced in knowledge, but who suffer because they do not have the sense to acknowledge the authority of the Almighty Lord. And 4. The class of men who are known as atheists and who therefore purposely hate the very name of God, although they are always in difficulty. Shri Naradji advised Vyasadeva to describe the glories of the Lord just to do good to all 8 classes of men, both good and bad. Srimad Bhagavatam is therefore not meant for any particular class of men or sect. It is for the sincere soul who actually wants his welfare and peace of mind. So let's go back a bit. Omagana timirandasya gananjana shalakaya chakur militam jena tasmashi kurve namaha. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshtarne. So just before I begin, it's Gopal Bhatta Goswami's disappearance day today, so just a quick few words about him, lest I forget at the end of the class, which is likely. He is, of course, one of the 6 Goswamis of Vrindavan, and this is just from memory, so only a few things. The son of Venkata Bhatta, who was a great Vaishnav, I think, in the Sri Sampradaya. Lord Chaitanya stayed with him for 4 months, during his travels in South India. And there he, Gopal Bhatta, who at that point was a young lad, maybe 5 years old, served the Lord. And he gave, the Lord Chaitanya gave him his remnants of food. At that time, he stayed for the rainy season. Then later, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, after his parents passed away, he served his elderly parents until their demise. And then he went to join the Lord. The Lord gave him some instructions. He told him to go to Nepal. And there he found a number of Shalagram Shilas. One of which was a Damodar Shila, who later manifested as Radha Raman, the beautiful deity that you now see in the Vrindavan temple, Shishi Radha Raman temple. So that was a self-manifesting deity. And he was also instructed to write compose the Hari Bhakti Vilasya. Around too much. So he wrote, he compiled along with Sanatan Goswami Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is our handbook of Vaishnav behavior. And a last thing about him is I believe he was a spiritual master of Srinivas Acharya, and he's said to be an incarnation of Guna Manjari, one of the eight Manjaris who serve Srimati Radharani. So he's a great personality. Guna Manjari, yeah. So let's remember him today as we go about our business. Okay, so coming back to the verse. Please therefore describe the Almighty Lord's activities, which you have learned by your vast knowledge of the Vedas. For that will satisfy the hankerings of great learned men, and at the same time mitigate the miseries of the masses of common people who are always suffering from material pangs. Indeed, there is no other way to get out of such miseries. So this, of course, is Sri Narad Muni speaking. This chapter is the instructions that Narad delivers to Vyasadeva. I think it's my favorite chapter in the whole Bhagavatam. I really like this one. So I just want to try to unpack the meaning of first this translation and then some of the purport as far as we can go. The first thing I noted here was that Srila Prabhupada says, therefore. So why does he say therefore? Please therefore describe the Almighty Lord's activities. Generally, therefore connects the point being made with the preceding points. So what led up to this? I looked at this chapter, and what leads up to this, in fact, is Narad is instructing Vyas, who has sitting in some state of dejection. He had compiled the Vedas, the Puranas, the Mahabharata, and he was dissatisfied at the end of that. His intention was wholly good, that he wanted to uplift humanity. It's his job. There's always a Vyas who incarnates in every Dwapara Yuga, and he divides the Vedas. Vyas means who divides. He divides the Vedas and presents them in a simplified form, for our benefit, in Kali Yuga. But even having done that, he had completed all that work. He wasn't satisfied, and he was sitting there wondering what was wrong. He was feeling like, okay, I obviously have not been successful in my endeavors, because otherwise I would be feeling a sense of accomplishment and the Lord would reciprocate, but I'm not feeling that. And then Narad appears. Narad is his spiritual master, and he begins to instruct him. And really, his instructions take the shape of emphasizing the importance of glorifying Krishna directly. They culminate in him being asked to write the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is really this instruction here. But Narad's point, first, he explains to him that because Vyasadeva's desire had been to present something which would enable us in this Kali Yuga to become purified and ultimately free of all misery and achieve liberation. So Narad said, of course, as we know famously, that this is condemned, what you have done, because he presented it in the shape of different rituals with offering as a benefit, that you would get some material benefits as well as becoming purified and becoming more conscious of Vishnu and then Krishna. Narad condemned that because he said people will simply be enamored by the material benefits on offer. They won't be interested in giving those up and dedicating themselves to a spiritual life. So then Narad said in verse 32, the best remedial measure for human society is to dedicate all the work, all their work to Krishna. Dedicate your endeavors. So, and in that section, Prabhupada comments how one must, whatever you happen to be, if you're an intellect, if you're a Brahmin, then you should use your intelligence. If you're a scientist, if you're a poet, if you're a writer, if you're a philosopher, to establish Krishna's supremacy, Krishna's position. And if you're less than that, then if you're an agriculturalist, he says, or you know, you're a businessman or something like that, then you should give the fruits of your work, and he actually says give half, at least half, he says, of your income for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness. So this is how you dedicate your work to Krishna. He explains that, and he says, by so doing, you will become the remedial measure. This is a remedy. A remedy to material suffering. And the cause of bondage, he then goes on to say in the next couple of verses, becomes the cause of liberation. So the cause of bondage is what? Let's see if I can... this is the cause of bondage. Let's read this verse. Yagyar tat karmana nyatra lokayam karma bandana tadatam karma kanteya mukta sangha samachara. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. So the problem is that we work with a desire for the result, and that result then becomes karma bandhana, bondage to material suffering. So the solution, that same work, when it is used in the service of Krishna, then tadartham karma kanteya mukta sangha. The result is liberation. So, going back to this previous verse, the cause of bondage becomes the cause of liberation. And then he goes on to say, how do we do that? Another important thing about trying to work for Krishna is that we must be constantly hearing and chanting about the Lord, constantly remember Krishna's names, qualities, form, etc. So, and then he finally says one verse which he had been given by the great sages. He was given the names of God. Om namo bhagavate tubhyam vasudeva dhimahi pradyumna anirudaya namah sankashanaya cha. That was the mantra that he was chanting, that Narad Muni was chanting, given to him by the Bhaktivedantas. And he says, as a result of that, I was endowed with Jnanam, Aishvaryam, and Bhava successively. So, first of all, transcendental knowledge, simply from chanting that mantra. Then came Aishvarya, which is the eight mystic cities. So he became powerful. But beyond that, higher than that, was Bhava, was Prabhupada translates the intimate loving service of the Lord. So that came from his chanting. So I understand that, therefore, he's saying, please, therefore, describe the Almighty Lord's activities, because this is the means, the remedial measure, the means by which we get free of bondage, become endued, but completely with love of God, the Lord's intimate loving service. The next thing he says, which you have learned by your vast knowledge of the Vedas. So from this, I understand that he's not actually telling Vyasadev the Srimad Bhagavatam. He doesn't need to tell him. Vyasadev knows it. He's already learned it. He's assimilated. He knows everything. He knows all the pastimes of the Lord. He has this vast knowledge of the Vedas. Here's another beautiful verse, which is from the same chapter. This is where Narad glorifies Vyasadev and Vyasadev's specific qualifications. Let's read it. Ata maha bhaga bhavana moga drik shuchi shrava satya rata drita vrata urukramasya kila banda muktaye samadhinanus maratad vichestitam. O Vyasadev, your vision is completely perfect. Your good fame is spotless. You are firm in vow and situated in truthfulness. And thus you can think of the pastimes of the Lord in trance for the liberation of the people in general from all material bondage. Such a beautiful verse. Prabhupada gives a class on this in New Vrindavan, which is well worth listening to. So, which you have learned in the verse, which you have learned by your vast knowledge of the Vedas. So he's already told him that, you know, that you're capable of doing this. Why? Because Mahabhaga, your great personality, your vision is perfect. Bhavana moga drik shuchisrava satcharato. So, dhritavrata, you're firm in vow. Your fame is spotless. You're truthful. So all these exalted qualifications mean that samadhi nanusmara. In samadhi, he can think of the Lord's pastimes, envision them, and present them for the good of the people in the shape of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is, in fact, what we find in later in chapter 7. It describes how he sits down by the bank of the Sarasvati, becomes absorbed in meditation, and gains a vision of the absolute truth of Krishna, of Maya, of the living entities being attracted by Maya. He sees how they can get free by changing their attraction to Krishna. And that's the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's the whole purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam, to bring our attraction back to Krishna. So Vyasadeva is uniquely qualified for that job. And then he says, for that will satisfy the hankerings of great learned men. So I understand that great learned men means someone who is hankering to hear about Krishna. What does it, you know, a learned man is not someone who has degrees or, you know, different material qualifications of any sort, nor even who has a great deal of knowledge of the Vedas, or can speak the entire Bhagavad Gita verbatim. That isn't necessarily the sign of a great learned man. A great learned man is hankering to hear about Krishna. This is an actual qualification. Vasudev Katha Ruchi. He has a taste for Vasudev Katha. So, and at the same time, mitigate the miseries of the masses of common people who are always suffering from material pangs. So, This is another reason why he should compile Srimad Bhagavatam. So that I understood, I thought, okay, how will it do that? What does he mean by that? Because they don't have any attraction to Srimad Bhagavatam, the masses of people. You know, here we are coming to Krishna consciousness, and we're interested, but we're also struggling. You know, our attraction to Srimad Bhagavatam is not sufficient to prevent us from falling asleep in the class, or, you know, watching YouTube videos rather than reading Srimad Bhagavatam, scrolling Facebook rather than reading Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a struggle for us. We have to actually discipline our mind. Okay, I'm going to do this. I have to do this because it's good for me. It's the necessary medicine. So when he says it will mitigate the miseries of the masses of common people, how will it do that if they're not interested in hearing it? So I understand that the message of the Bhagavatam assimilated by the great learned persons is then passed on by them to the common people. They then gain the benefit, like Srila Prabhupada gave us Srimad Bhagavatam, presented it in a way which we can assimilate and understand. And I'll speak a little bit more about that in a moment. And the final thing, indeed, there is no other way to get out of such miseries. So, ushnanti na anyata. This is the only way. So we should take note of this very carefully, that we can't get out of material miseries by working very hard, by performing rigid austerities, by becoming vastly learned in the Vedas. Only by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by developing our attraction for Srimad Bhagavatam, for the pastimes. What is Srimad Bhagavatam? It's simply the beautiful activities of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord. So that was my understanding of that verse, the translation. I don't know if anyone sees anything else in that that I may have missed, has any other understanding, but that was my best effort to understand that verse. Moving on then to the purport. I think I covered all those notes. And what I understand that to be saying. So, Sri Narad Muni, from practical experience, definitely asserts that the prime solution of all problems of material work is to broadcast very widely the transcendental glories of the Supreme Lord. So, why does he say from practical experience? Because Narad Muni is the perfect example of someone who has heard Srimad Bhagavatam and as a result become entirely transformed. What was Narad before he became Narad Muni? He was a boy, yeah. He was the son of a maidservant in his previous life. We hear that story. And he's telling this story, right, to Vyasadeva. Why is he telling him the story? To convince him, yeah. He's already told him, you know, that your problem is you haven't directly glorified the Lord, and that is what needs to be done. I read that verse that you're uniquely qualified, that's what you should do. And then he cites himself as an example. In a former age, in the last day of Lord Brahma, in fact, in the last Kalpa, he had been this child. And he heard from the sages. He took a little of their prasadam, that's also mentioned, but primarily he heard from them and he was instructed in chanting this mantra to the Chaturvyuha, and that was what actually transformed him completely. And And so it goes on to say, he, from his practical experience, definitely asserts. So why does he definitely assert? How does he definitely assert? O shanti nanyata. He says there is no other way. Jai shishi radha kukulananda ki jai. And it's been decided by the learned. Earlier on, he also said that this has been concluded by great learned men, that there is no other way. And then the prime solution, so that I understand Prabhupada means that it is the best way. You can try other ways. And in the earlier section of this chapter, he says that we may attempt to ameliorate our condition of misery by different kinds of adjustments, but if they're not sanctioned by God, they're not going to succeed. Doesn't matter what you do. You can try very hard. Like the example, you know, you may be very ill and you go to the finest physician you can possibly find and fork out loads of money and get his cure, but still you die because it's not sanctioned by God. So the prime solution of all miseries, Prabhupada makes the point, is only possible when we take full shelter of the Lord. And the problems of material work, what are they? What is material work? First of all, when Prabhupada says material work, what does he mean? You know, are we not doing material work here in the temple? What is material work in your understanding? What is it, exactly does he mean by that? When we want the result. Material. Yeah. Reactive work. Immaterial consciousness. So, and what is the problem of that? Misery, right? Interestingly, he talks about the, we'll have a look at that in a second, the misery is there for anyone who's working in material consciousness. And he talks about different kinds of people. There are four classes. The prime solution of all material work is to broadcast very widely the transcendental glories of the Supreme Lord. There are four classes of good men and there are four classes of bad men. So the four classes of good men are listed in Srimad, in the Bhagavad Gita. Which verse is that? Oh, great pundits. Yeah, that's correct. I've got it here somewhere. Let's see if I can put it up. Yeah. Chaturvidha pajante mam. You can always recite these with me. Jana sukritina arjuna arto jigyasa artarti gyani cha bharat arshaba. O best among the Bharats, four kinds of pious men begin to render devotional service unto me. The distressed, the desirer of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the Absolute. So, these are the men who Prabhupada says are hankering to hear about the Lord. So, they are pious. And when they find themselves in any one of these four conditions, it may be, it's not that being in one of these four conditions means you're pious. You might be in one of these four conditions of life, not be pious, and you won't take to, you won't turn to God. But if you're pious, then you will. If you are artha, distressed, jigyasu, inquisitive to know the truth, arti, desiring wealth, and jnani, in knowledge. So these are the four kinds of people who take. And then he said four kinds do not take, which of course is the preceding verse. Namang duskritana mudha prapadyante naratama mayaya paritagyana asuram bhavamastrita. Those miscreants who are grossly foolish, who are lowest among mankind, whose knowledge is stolen by illusion, and who partake of the atheistic nature of demons, do not surrender unto me. So these four kinds of persons are the ones, Prabhupada says, are the common men who are suffering. Let's have a look. This is from the purport of 7.15. When these four kinds of persons come to the Supreme Lord for devotional service and are completely purified by the association of a pure devotee, they also become pure devotees. So those are the pious, the four kinds of pious people described in 7.16. In that purport also, in the 7.16 purport, he also says they are more or less devotees. They are already engaged in religion, in religious activities. They're pious. Sometimes we think ourselves may be in that category, and perhaps some of us are. But speaking for myself, I find that I'm not in that category. Before I came to Krishna consciousness, I wasn't pious. I wasn't engaged in any form of religious activity whatsoever. I was not more or less a devotee of any kind. So I could understand I fell into the other category, the Duskritina. The Duskritinas are of four types, and they're not necessarily atheistic. The Mudha, the first one, he's not necessarily an atheist. He can be a Karmakandi, someone who wants to enjoy this world, but finds no time to hear and chant about Krishna, to dedicate his life to any spiritual practice. So he's a Mudha. He's not very intelligent. So he's a Duskritina. What about them? As far as the miscreants are concerned, for them, devotional service is very difficult because their lives are selfish, irregular, and without spiritual goals. But even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees. Yeah, this is the purport of... Is that 7.16? Oh, okay. I've got the wrong number. My apologies. Okay, so... the point I'm making here that I'm understanding is when Prabhupada says in the verse under discussion that it will mitigate the miseries of the common people, then those common people are the Duskritinas, are those who are selfish, irregular, and without spiritual goals. So how can they get the benefit? As I was saying previously, he says here, even some of them, by chance, when they come in contact with a pure devotee, also become pure devotees. So that's my position, and perhaps some of us here will also identify with that, that having come in contact with a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, and through the medium of his books, his vani, his teachings, we now have an opportunity to ourselves become pure devotees. For me, when it said that it will mitigate the miseries, I thought, okay, he's instructing Vyasadeva, therefore you should widely distribute, you should broadcast this message of Srimad Bhagavatam because it will mitigate the miseries. I thought, okay, first thing is, I'm one of the candidates who needs his miseries to be mitigated. I'm not exactly one of the candidates at this point to widely broadcast the message because I haven't even assimilated it. And I certainly haven't. I don't evince that message. I don't display that, demonstrate that in my behavior. I'm not yet free of the miseries. So what can I get from that? That I should be trying myself to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. I should be receiving the Bhagavatam primarily from the pure devotee in order to mitigate my suffering and hopefully become a person who can then distribute that to others. But currently, I don't find myself in that category. So these are some of the points that I derive from this verse. I'll go back to it. I'll stop there for a moment and see if anyone has any comments or questions on any of that.